from
Hi guys, I'm Lori. I'm an alcoholic. Just let me know if you need me to speak louder. Lucas, thank you so much for your service to this meeting and for asking me here tonight. Let's see, what do I want to share? So my sobriety date is November 21st, 2008. So I will be, there's Joe cheering. He's in class of 2008. I will be 13 in November. I have gone through the steps a bunch of times. I have a great sponsor. I've had the same sponsor for all of my recovery. I'm originally from the East Coast, from Connecticut, and I grew up like, I don't know, probably lower middle class American, and I was a really anxious kid. I definitely had some self-esteem issues early on, and back then, or I don't know if it was, I think it was both equally, like back then and in my family, we didn't really talk about these things very much. So when I found drugs and alcohol, I found big relief in drugs and alcohol. I was probably about 13 when I started, just kind of sneaking drinks whenever I possibly could, which probably wasn't all that often, honestly. And then just went along with things. When I was 16 years old, I went to see the Grateful Dead in Providence, Rhode Island. And I thought with my best friend, and I thought to myself, I saw kids my age roaming around the country, following the Grateful Dead, drinking all they wanted, using all they wanted, doing what they wanted. And I thought to myself, I am never going back to high school. This is what I want to do. And I don't see any reason to not do it. So I went home and I argued with my parents and I packed my bags and I went off on Grateful Dead tour at 16. And just had a crazy time, a wonderful time. I was kind of a fearless kid. I was kind of just lived like, well, whatever happens, happens, you know, if I die out there because I'm hitchhiking around, then that's okay. Just kind of in the moment, in my own bubble kind of a person. And so I'm just wandering around the country. I'm wandering around the country and I'm doing whatever I want. And I'm so innocent and naive, and I took whatever drugs people put in front of me, and then I asked them what it was. I mean, I was just taking handfuls of LSD and pills, and like, really, you guys, there's no reason that I should still be here on this planet, but here I am. So I did that for years. I basically did that from 16 until 25. And when the Grateful Dead weren't on tour, I was just on my own little Lori tour. I was like homeless in New Orleans. I lived on a commune in Taos, New Mexico for a while. I lived on Venice Beach. I sold jewelry. I mean, I just did whatever I wanted to, basically. So somewhere in there, I'd say from like 21 to 23, I traded in my LSD and my alcohol and my marijuana for heroin. And I went really deep down into this dark, seedy life, kind of without my permission, that happened. And I got stuck there. I got stuck there for 2 years, and I didn't know how to get out of it. And I was like too ashamed to admit it to people. I was too ashamed to ask for help or to talk about it. And it just kind of like held me there in this hell, really in this hell. And that lifestyle included a lot of stealing and a lot of lying and a lot of running around through the projects of New York City and just scary ass shit that I had no business doing. And with that came a lot of self-hatred, like along all of that, from being homeless and from being so addicted, I just picked up a lot of real big self-hatred, and a lot of feeling like I was the scum of the earth and that I sucked and that I didn't really have a right to take up any space on this planet. So that's kind of what I thought about myself, you know? And then circumstances came, that all kind of came to a head. I kind of got kicked out of the place that I was staying. I kind of got kicked out of the town that I was staying in. And my friends took me in Ohio, and I kicked drugs at their house with a bottle of Southern Comfort. So I basically like traded. I traded all of my drugs in for alcohol, and I told myself, like, I'll just drink. It's legal and it's a lot less trouble, right? So I did. I just drank. And then fast forward like another couple of years, I was still homeless. I was still bouncing around. I was really drunk and I was using other drugs. Anyway, I moved in with my baby daddy. I moved in with him, got pregnant, and had the sense to know, like, okay, I've got to stop. I've got to clean up for this baby. I'm going to clean up my life. And I did. I stopped. That's what I did. I removed the substances from my life, and I white knuckled it through pregnancy. And I was a single mom. I was a single mom the whole time, the whole way through. Like, I white knuckled it. Then I white knuckled it through City College. Then I white knuckled it through Cal Poly. And all the time, I was like, I didn't really have life skills. I really didn't. I didn't really know how to cope. And I knew about AA, and I knew about recovery. I knew about the rooms because my parents were in recovery. They were in the rooms, and I was in Alateen when I was a kid, so I knew it was there. But I didn't think that's what my problem was. I don't even think that I knew that I had problems. I was just really like in survival mode. I was just trying to get through the day, you know? And then so I wanted to give my daughter a good life, and it's just me and her. And I graduated from Cal Poly, and I started working in my field, which is I'm a therapist, so I started working like in the mental health field. And slowly I started letting alcohol back in. I started to let it back into my life. Like, well, I'll just drink on Friday nights. I would get a bottle of wine and come home and cook my girl dinner and have a bottle of wine. And then it was, you know the progression. And then it was Friday and Saturday nights. And then it was Friday, Saturday, and Thursday nights. And then it was, and then it was, and then it was most nights. And it was like it was all I thought about. All I thought about was like, when can I drink again? Oh, when can I drink again? When am I going to be able to breathe again? When am I going to be able to exhale again? And so my life really just felt like a really big chore. And drinking felt like the release from the big chore. I still had, even though I had gone to college and become a mom, I still worse, you know, just as bad as ever. I still had all of the you suck voices going on in my head, thinking that I was different from other people, and that if people knew who I was, they wouldn't let me anywhere near them. And if they knew who I was, they wouldn't let my kid go over and play with their kids. And I had this very secretive, it was a secret. It was a secret, like the places I had been and the things I had done. And I just had to brush it all off and pretend to be a PTA mom. And so my drinking, it got worse and worse. And then in October of 2008, I got a DUI. And thank God my daughter wasn't with me when I got my DUI, or I would have had a child endangerment, but that didn't happen. I got a DUI, and the courts sentenced me to Alcoholics Anonymous and a bunch of other things. And so I came into the rooms. I came in not know I came in not knowing if I was an alcoholic or not, but also not in denial. I came in just willing, like, okay, I have to be here, so I'm gonna listen, I'm gonna check this out, I'm gonna see what it's all about. And I came in, and what I noticed was that I would sit in meetings and people would speak their truth, and it would bring tears to my eyes. And nothing had brought tears to my eyes in years and years. But I always know when something is true for me because it brings tears to my eyes and it sends chills down my back, like fingers down my back. And I had those feelings when I came into the rooms, and I heard people talking about the terrible things that they did and laughing about them. And I just felt like these are my people. Like, I finally, these are my people. I think I found my people. And at the same time, I didn't want that to be true. You know, I didn't want that to be true. I really wanted there to be like a middle. Okay, Lori, here's your prescription. You can drink on Fridays and Tuesdays, but that's it. And if you just do that, you're going to be okay. You know, I really wanted there to be an answer that included alcohol. I didn't want to give up my alcohol. But I followed the suggestions. You guys told me to pray to a higher power that I did not understand, and I did that. I started to do that. You guys told me to come to meetings even when I don't want to, and I did that. I trained my feet. And to this day, my feet are trained. I come to meetings. I have never stopped coming to meetings. And if there's one thing I've done right in this program, that's it right there. I've never stopped coming to meetings. There hasn't been like a week that went by, maybe when we were out of the country for a couple of weeks, but there hasn't been any large amount of times that go by. And lucky for me, I really like meetings. So I like meetings. I worked my steps fearless and thoroughly, like you guys told me to. I didn't leave anything out because I knew that if I did, it could be something that I could maybe drink over. I had a very spiritual experience as the result of doing my fourth and fifth steps, just writing it all down on paper and then telling it to my sponsor and just having her like nod and be like, me too, I know, me too, me too. Just, I can't even put it into words, you guys. I just joined humanity in that, like in that moment, I joined humanity. And that was the beginning of me not thinking that I was totally different than everybody else or that I sucked, not thinking that I was a terrible person, but that I was a sick person, working my ass off to get better. Just, After I did that fourth and fifth step, I walked around with tears, like just being able to connect with other people, just being able to look people in the eyes and being not afraid of what they're going to see in my eyes was the first time I had human connection, probably since I had been a little kid. And it was moving, and it was enough to keep me here. And sobriety, it's been a ride. It's been a really interesting ride. I have My daughter is an addict. She had and an alcoholic. She has 7 months right now, and she's doing good, but it's been a ride with her. I got to marry my best friend 6 years ago, and that's been wonderful. He's waving, see? That's been a wonderful adventure for us. I love what I do for work. I love it. It doesn't suck to go to work every day. It's really nice. And we're about to buy our first home. So I've gotten all the things, all the things. I've gotten the things. I've gotten the freedom. I don't have financial insecurity. But the best thing, you guys, the best thing that I got is my relationship with myself, first of all, is good. I like the person I am now. I like the Lori I see in the mirror every day. I'm cool with her. She's okay with me. And I got a relationship with God. And I owe my life to this program. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lori. Let's give her another round of applause. I love
Thanks, her. Lori.
That's great. I really love that.